je n'arriverai pas à m'occuper bien de vous, papa.
Je ne veux pas laisser cette maison où nous avons passé toute notre vie. Et moi, je ne jette pas mon passé. Vois le Dieu qui m'a fait,
me fait courber la tête. The last time I talked to you, it was about Climax in 2018. And in the interview, you mentioned casually that even Michael Haneke films, they can be sad, touching, but they can also be funny. And obviously, many people have pointed out the resemblance between Amour, the Michael Haneke film, and Vortex. And so I was wondering, is this something you've been thinking about a lot for a long time, about how much Michael Haneke films mean to you? And also I was wondering, do you know if he has seen Vortex? Because I would be very curious to know what Michael Haneke makes of it.
Concerning Haneke's Amour, actually, I saw the movie 1 month before my mother died, and I was in Argentina, and I came back for the Cannes Film Festival to do some business, I know, but I was taking care of my mother, who was demented, and we were even at the time with my parents trying to see how we could help her to not suffer too much, and because of the situation was really painful for her mainly, but for everybody around. And when I went to see Haneke's Amour in Cannes, I cried I couldn't stop crying, and even 1 hour after I was still crying. And I sent him a lovingful message because his assistant had sent me his email, and he replied me at the other. For example, if you send me an email, I replied 1 week later, but I sent him email and he replied and said, oh, thank you very much. I'm very touched by the other director's comments. So I was touched. But and then after that, I was very happy. He got the all the awards that he deserved and the commercial success that he deserved. But I was during those months being with my mother and my father and my sister, I was surprised to notice that there were not many movies depicting such common universal situations, and Haneke's was one. There was a movie with Julie Christie a few years before called Away From Her that was very sad. There were some scenes in the movie A Separation by Faraday that described the character with Alzheimer's, but those situations are extremely complex, extremely painful, and I would have certainly done the movie without having seen Haneke's movies, but I had seen it, I loved it, and I cried watching it. And lately, when I went to the Vienna Film Festival to show the movie, I wanted him to come, but for COVID issues, he was not going out, I don't know, and he asked for a link, and a producer that is very close to him sent him the link for the movie, and he sent me a very nice comment about the movie, saying, "Oh, like Gaspar Noé is getting into a new step of his work."
Oh wow, that's amazing!
But I just met him once briefly through Mathieu Kassovitz in at the Cannes Film Festival, and we had a discussion. I was very happy to meet him. He was telling me that he wanted to do a movie about the subject of sex. So this,
okay, that's why he wanted to talk to you.
Yeah, so I want to see that movie about that.
Yeah, subject. Definitely.
Yeah, the old age is everywhere, and it's very surprising that there are not many, many more movies about those kind of subjects. The quote from Betty Davis, "Old age ain't no place for sissies."
I didn't know it, no.
I got to reopen the comment. Oh, like your movie describes the quote of Betty Davis.
Yeah, I should have said, that's how I should have started the interview. But actually, you're talking about how, like, obviously old age is something that, if we're lucky, we all go through, we all experience, and that it's not very represented in films. But actually, thinking about your films, your previous films, I think there's this idea that people associate your movies with youth a lot because they're fun, because they have young people in them, but also just the general sort of the fact that they're often, for some people, shocking, I think makes them sort of a thing that we associate with like young viewers, young cinephiles. Like I remember when I was younger, like all the coolest people had like an Enter the Void poster in their room, you know. But I mean, even then, like Climax was all about young people. Love is about the passion of youth and all that stuff. And then you made this film, Vortex, which is almost essentially just about old people. But then actually I was thinking back to your other films that you made, that like the short film Carne, but also I Stand Alone, which are not really about young people. They're about like a middle-aged guy.
The guy was middle-aged, but he was 25 years older than me. Unfortunately, lately died of COVID, but he was like a second father for me. The age gap between me and Fidno was the same one than between me and Dario Argento. We have like 25 years of difference. I relate to Dario as much as I relate to the character played by Carl Glassman in Love. One is a wannabe director who came to Paris to study cinema, and the other one is an old film critic with a house full of books and posters. And yeah, it's like an extension of myself, as Philippe Dano was an extension of myself when I did Carne and so and I'd Stand Alone.
So in a way, I guess you don't really stray like that far off the stuff you know, because it's, even though it might seem like quite a different movie, Vortex is still kind of in the same world of like cinephiles and people who love cinema, and that's just in the film.
It's probably the closest movie to the life I know, but also Love and Enter the Void are closer. I would even when I see this movie, because my mother had dementia, I know what it feels like, but also because I had a brain accident 2 years ago, I could have been brain damaged, as I could have died during that moment. But the fact that I could have been today in the same state of mind, or than the demented character played by Françoise Lupin, makes me that I feel I can identify with her as much as I can identify with the character played by Dario, or by the character played by Alex Schutz, who plays her son. I relate to all the characters in the movie.
And also, I think something that's quite striking, obviously, about Vortex is the fact that it's quite technically quite a simple setup. Yeah. You just have two characters and you follow them. I mean, obviously, I imagine it was very hard to do, because I don't know if people are aware, but the concept is the screen is split in two. One side you follow one character, the other character. Sometimes they cross paths, obviously, but you know, technically, I'm sure it was complicated, but sort of the concept of it is quite simple. And I thought that was quite interesting compared to some of your other films. Like I'm thinking especially, I guess, Enter the Void, but also Climax, that had some really elaborate setups, you know, like the camera just flying around, going on the ceiling and all these things like this. And I thought it was, it was striking how in Vortex is a bit more simple, but also there's more of a sense of, maybe a sense of duration in Vortex. And I was wondering like how, does it feel for you like a huge departure, or is it kind of a natural progression? Or
just a continuity of my previous movies. Probably in some ways it's closer to Carne or Sol Contre Tous. They're mostly are done with still images and cheap apartments, and also the energy of the movies, is linked to the energy of the characters or the speed of the subject. When you're filming dancers, things go fast. You know, they're young, they're full of testosterone or estrogen, but they're full of energy. And the movie is fast as they are. When you're filming the decay of an old couple on their 80s, there is a pace that is a natural pace for their movements, and I wanted to respect it. And also that's the beauty of their acting, is that the there is no rush. I try to portray situations for what they are, not for what the potential audience that goes to see Marvel movies wants to see. Not so.
Is this something you think about when you make your films? Do you think about the fact that, oh, so many movies these days are this way, or they are fast, or they are, you know, they are characters that people know from comic books or from other films or franchises? Is this something you actually think about?
I don't know. I never watch those movies. Even on the planes, I just watch 5-10 minutes of them, and I'm happy. I never paid a one dime to see them on a big screen. But no, mostly you're touched by events in real life. Sometimes you're touched by fake events on a movie screen, but on a theater screen. This movie is more inspired by real life than by other people's movies.
And actually, I don't know if you know, but a few weeks ago, I think a couple of weeks ago, there was a screening of La Maman et la Putain, The Mother and the Whore.
I insisted. I told the picture house to
I know, I know.
I already knew that it would be playing at Cannes this year. They would be opening the Cine Classics event. But I said, oh, please, can you make a screening of La Maman et la Putain before we release Vortex, so people know why I propose to Françoise Rabanne to be the actress of my movie. So you saw it? You attended?
Yeah, I went to the screening. I had seen the film years ago, but I was too young. I was kind of confused by it, but I remember liking it, but I saw it again. And she was there for an intro, you know, she introduced the film, and she said that that you cast her in Vortex, Françoise Lebrun, partly because of this film.
Yeah.
But she said that she was asked by Paul, he asked her, did you ever talk with Gaspar about La Maman et la Putain? And she said, oh no, we didn't talk about those things. And so I was wondering, what do you think of that film? Why did you cast her from this film into Vortex?
I'm obsessed with that movie, and also the fact that it was a movie that was very hard to see. So I had a bootleg DVD that was giving to my friends, and I saw it once at the French Cinematheque. But I like the reality, the realism of that movie. It was inspired by the real life of the director, Jean Eustache, who was noting all the drags that he was having with his wife, or not only his wife, with his main love, and also with his lover. And so it's like a replayed documentary, but I know it represents the Parisian life of the 70s much better than any other movie that I know.
Mm.
And the complexity of some kind of love stories, great. Yeah, no, I can watch it over and over, and it's probably 3 hours and 30 minutes long, but it could have been 7 hours. I would have enjoyed it probably even better.
Mm. And then you also cast, obviously, Dario Argento in the film, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think he's really been acting that much before.
No, he never acted.
Never?
But,
right.
No, but you know, as a film director, you become an actor because you're so often interviewed in front of cameras that you're playing your own part. Dario Argento has been playing Dario Argento his whole life, and he's very good to on TV or in documentaries because he's funny. And even when he's introducing his movies at the French Cinematheque, he can do a monologue of 1 hour before the movie starts, and everybody's laughing, applauding. And so he's like a born comedian. But very intellectual, and I knew that side of him because I had seen him many times. And Dario Argento was actually my very first idea for this movie, and I saw that I would propose him the part. But then I was told that he was starting a new feature as a film director, so he wouldn't be available. And I started considering other directors, other writers, other actors, but there was not one person that really excited me besides Dario. And hopefully his movie was delayed for COVID reasons. So I called Asia, his daughter. I said, oh, Asia, do you think your father would like to be in one of my movies? She thought it was a joke. I said, what kind of movie is it? And I said, well, it's a melodrama with an old couple. I said, I know he loved Climax, he loved it, but just go take the first plane, come over, and you will tell him what's a movie you want to make, and you'll see, I'll help you. And then I think he wasn't really sure to accept, but I told him that I wouldn't write him any lines, that I want him to take care of his character and to improvise whatever he wants. And I said, oh yeah, probably the character could have a mistress. Okay, your character could have one mistress, two mistresses, whatever you want. you direct your character, I'll direct the editing, and during the shooting, I'll just be holding one of the two cameras, and that's my job. So, we talked a lot about Umberto D, and he likes Umberto D. As much as I do, so Asia comes. I think he was going to say yes, and the next day he said yes, and he came. And it was the girl who was taking care of the wardrobe on the movie, like the stylist, who ended up being the mistress on the set because the Arab said, "Oh, she's really cool." So I didn't have her as a mistress in the movie. So okay, yeah. But she wasn't very happy to play that part. But
I think she did a good job.
I always propose to the members of my crew to have a part in the movie. I don't know, one time out of two, they really enjoyed being on screen. Like Maravalli, he really enjoyed doing it. But one time out of two, said, no, like I don't want to be filmed. Yeah, sometimes you have to force people to be filmed.
Wow, that sounds like a really fun experience. Okay, I don't think I have much more time. But yeah, I guess one last question is, do you have a next project?
Not yet.
Because last time I asked you, you said you wanted to make a documentary.
Yeah, that's what I'm still answering. And I knew that also I wanted to do a movie about old age, but it happened also because of the confinement. It was difficult for film productions, and my producers asked me if I had any idea for a movie with one location and two, three characters. So I said, well, probably is the right moment to do a movie about dementia. Concerning the next one, I don't know. I would like to do an anti-religious movie, but it's going to be very violent.
Very violent?
Yeah.
Great.
Because the religions are violent, so
yeah, that makes sense.
They're all made out of blood, so I know who could finance such a movie about Inquisition or something.
Sounds great. Okay, well, thanks very much.